And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Tuesday, October 26th. I am Josh Engelman. I am joined by Adam Scher. We are brought to you by Yahoo Fantasy. And we've got a five-game slate. I'm actually really excited. This is a better size for me. It's going to be a good one. You get a little bit of everything, but you could really take some stands on people. I'd like six or seven, but five feels good. I'm glad that it wasn't two or three when I woke up. I don't know why you're laughing. What did I say that's bad?
No, you didn't say anything bad. I'm just like a 12-year-old.
Okay. Well, that I agree with too. Either way, guys. Good.
You know, I would have preferred six or seven, but at least it wasn't two or three.
I've had most of that run of the spectrum, and honestly, it's all the same. Anyway, hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. We got a ton of content coming up today, but we're going to start it off with this strategy show. But first, Adam, how are you?
I'm good. That got my morning off to a good start. Maybe not as good as you know, five felt for you this morning, but that still felt pretty good.
Two would still feel good, man. Two would still feel good. It's neither here nor there. Anything good yesterday?
No, had a sweat in NFL showdown. Didn't quite get there at the end. I think if the Saints had scored on that pick six that they dropped on like the very last play, I'm not positive, but I think I would have ended up coming from behind the win. So that was kind of annoying. But NBA, nothing good. You know, had some good lineups, but just not enough to get to the top.
It's really weird to have two separate conversations at the same time with the same person. Like I'm responding to a DM of yours. You're talking about something else. I'm responding to something else. I'm just trying to keep it all together. I forgot that there was even football last night.
I mean, the game didn't really resemble football that much.
It was the final, like 14-10 or 17-10 or something like that.
13-10?
Something shitty.
Yeah.
Something shitty. This should be a fun slate. Maybe not the best games in the world. Golden State at OKC is kind of bleck. Dallas gets Houston. Houston stinks. Denver, Utah, I thought would have been more interesting. Who knows right now? And then Philly and the Knicks isn't the best DFS game, but all these games have pretty similar totals. So I don't know. I'm ready to just dive in if you are.
Yeah, sounds good.
All righty. Let's kick it off. Let me get all my crap pulled up. Actually, I got to grab our ownership first. Ownership up as of a minute ago. So if you are trying to follow along and you are an Awesomeo subscriber, ownership is posted. Wow, that's not what I expected. All right, we're going to have a lot to talk about then. Kicking it off, Philadelphia 76ers taking on the New York Knicks. Sixers are 1-point dogs, 218.5 total. Got a little bit up in the air here for the Sixers. Q tag on Joel Embiid, Q tag on Andre Drummond. We also have a Q tag on Nerlens Noel. So three of the four main centers that would play in this game all have questionable tags on them for today. Clearly no Ben Simmons. Shake Milton also still out. I think you and I might as well, I think we've said it already on one of the shows, but Joel Embiid's probably every game that Joel Embiid isn't already out, he's probably going to have a questionable tag all year. So I'm assuming we see like 60 of these, whether or not he plays today or not, I don't think has much to do with it, but I'm assuming he's in. I think it's more interesting to wonder if Andre Drummond is actually questionable. Like I think his is actually real, missed the last game. I don't know if it changes anything all that much for this particular matchup. So I assume you're treating Embiid like he's in, and especially because it's a 7:30 start, it doesn't really matter all that much.
Yeah, we should have the news in time anyway. Granted, Embiid certainly, they keep it as close to the vest as they can. They'll know, like, there'll be a video on Twitter an hour before the game of Embiid, like, running suicides and doing, everything possible. And then, like, 20 minutes before the game, Doc Rivers will be like, I don't know how he feels. But assuming we're going to have that news, you know, before the slate starts. I'm assuming Embiid's in just because he's been questionable all season. He hasn't missed a game. Drummond, I'm with you. I think seems like an actual Q tag after missing the last game. I don't think it affects too much though. Like you can sum up the Drummond piece pretty quickly. If Drummond plays, he's viable in tournaments just because if he somehow gets more than 15, 16 minutes, you know, if Embiid gets in foul trouble or whatever, Drummond will just absolutely obliterate that price tag. And if he only plays 15 or 16 minutes, you're not drawing dead. Like he can still grab a million rebounds. But he's clearly not someone you would target because he's probably playing 15 or 16 minutes. If he's out, it doesn't really open up a lot. You know, like maybe it gives Embiid a path to an extra minute or two, but I'm not, you know, going too crazy with that. And then based on the rotation that Philadelphia used last game, you didn't really get anyone stepping up behind them. Paul Reed only played 9.5 minutes off the bench. Niang played 20 minutes, but like, that's not someone that's really getting into your lineups just because he's going to play 20 minutes. So it didn't really open up much. It's not like they had, you know, a super productive backup center that just picked up all 16 minutes for a cheap price tag.
I can't believe Drummond's price tag is $6K on FanDuel and $5,200 on DraftKings. We're not even getting him in like a weird spot. Like he's,
I think he's actually priced where he should be.
Probably a little high.
Like maybe a little bit, but like I would easily rather them err on the side of like making him $5,200 instead of $4,700 as opposed to making him $4,200. Like if he was $4,200, he's like a play in his 16 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's what's really crazy. 1.85 fantasy points per minute so far this season for Andre Drummond on FanDuel. Yeah.
He has a 40% rebounding percentage so far this year.
Amazing. Meanwhile, Isaiah Joe is in the negatives on a per minute basis.
That's impressive.
Now, negative 0.003 is what I have in here right now, which feels incorrect, but I don't know how that's possible because he's played a lot. So that makes it even harder to do. Well, let's talk through this team then. 10K for Embiid on FanDuel, 9,800 on DraftKings. We've got him at 18% ownership on FanDuel, 12 on DK. I like the matchup for him. You know, Mitchell Robinson, mildly foul prone. That should help Embiid if he is out there. Whether Nerlens Noel is in or not, he's not really the type of guy that is a slowdown Embiid guy. Like I like Nerlens Noel. He's a really good defensive center. Embiid is kind of a different matchup for him. And then I don't know, like, I don't think Embiid cares if it's Taj Gibson. He certainly doesn't care if it's Obi Toppin or who else can get those minutes. So as per usual, I've got some interest in Joel Embiid.
Yeah, without a doubt, and especially because the ownership isn't particularly high. You know, only a 5-game slate, and he's pulling 12% ownership. I don't think he grades out quite as well as, you know, other pay-up options. You have Jokic, Doncic, and Curry on this slate. Those guys are all, you know, obviously really, really good and likely to play a few more minutes than Embiid. You have Julius Randle at the same price point on the other side of this game. Not the same level of per-minute production, but likely to play, you know, 6 minutes more. So he looks, you know, at least comparable as well, but the ownership plays a big role because you're still going to have, you know, Embiid still has those 70 point fantasy games in his range of outcomes. They're obviously not going to happen all that often. He projects for, you know, low 50s in fantasy points, but he can still get there and give you those just ridiculous games at relatively low ownership. So the way it looks right now, I haven't built a cash lineup, but I don't think I'd be getting to Embiid in cash. If I did, it would kind of just be because like I land on 9,800, but I can't get to 10,600. You know, to get to Jokic or something. So I don't think I'd be getting there in cash, but I definitely like him in tournaments if he's only going to be projected for about 12% ownership. You compare that to – where's Jokic at?
10.
Yeah. Jokic is at 17 on DraftKings. So, I think that it's a situation with Jokic and Embiid where I think there's a good chance I kind of just end up flip-flopping what the field's doing because I think Jokic is the better option, and we'll talk about him, but he's also more expensive, and I think the range of outcomes is pretty similar.
We didn't get here. We're not on the Lakers yet, but Logan Waldron says Melo has to be in because he's doing all the shooting LeBron can't do. Just for the record, LeBron James with a significantly higher true shooting percentage than Carmelo Anthony now and basically every year forever.
Somebody said Adams never shot a basketball in his life. That's literally all I could do on a basketball floor.
I assumed you were just dunking all over the place.
Yeah.
Just yamming on everybody. All right, this is the actual piece of conversation I want to get into for Philly because you talk about him more negatively than I think most people do in the industry. What do you want to do with Tyrese Maxey? 5,500 on FanDuel, 6K on DraftKings. He's going to get ownership. He's 33% owned on FanDuel right now. 0.78 FanDuel points per minute so far this season. I know you're generally like slightly down on Maxey chalk just because of his performance when Harris and Embiid are on the floor. Are you feeling the same way today?
Yep. Especially on DraftKings where the salary is coming up and he's still projected for like 16% ownership. The minutes are nice. You know, you're getting 34 to 36 minutes from Maxey in competitive games. The issue that I have with Maxey is the same one I've had all season long. The Sixers are not staggering anyone's minutes. They're running a true second unit for at least for most of the bench minutes. So that means that essentially every minute that Tyrese Maxey is playing is with both of Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid on the floor. he just doesn't play as big a role with those guys. And, you know, obviously that's not surprising. You expect that to be the case. So far this year, he's played a total of 103 minutes. He's averaged 0.8 DraftKings points per minute, 22% usage rate. But you also have to keep in mind, he had, you know, that since he's only played 103 minutes total this year, that's being skewed a little bit by those minutes he played in the blowout where he was on the floor in the fourth quarter without Harrison Embiid. That's not something you're counting on happening. So he's played a total of 76 minutes with them on the floor, 20.6% usage rate. He can still get there in, you know, 34 to 36 minutes. It's not that I think he's bad or he's a bad play. I just think that people are still treating him like he is a really high point per minute producer when he's not. He's fine. He's, you know, around 0.8 fantasy points per minute. But if you just look at Tyrese Maxey's overall numbers in the NBA, they are really skewed by garbage time minutes and just, you know, minutes with the second unit where he's getting up a lot of shots. He has never been productive in these minutes alongside Embiid and Harris for, you know, a guy that's $6,000 and relatively popular. It's just, if Maxey happens to go out there and throw up 35, 40 DraftKings points playing all of his minutes alongside Embiid and Harris, I'm fine losing those slates, you know, if he's popular, and then just having other guys on all of the slates where he goes and gets like 27 or 28 points.
I like it. I'm with you now. Slowly working his way back or working him down in terms of like a per minute rate. Wow, Logan Waldron is on one here. James Harden is irrelevant now in fantasy without his ability to draw fouls. Going to let you guys in on a little secret. It's going to be really mind-blowing information for everybody in fantasy. These guys have salaries that change. You know, he doesn't have to be like a 12K guy, right? Everybody's a different play every single day.
Also, like I can already tell that this is going to happen. Like, yeah, the foul thing matters, but Harden averaged 7.2 free throws per game last year. He's averaging 3 this year. That's about as bad as it's going to get. It's not going to go lower.
No.
So, okay, he's losing 4 free throw attempts per game at worst. Like, and it's going to go up. But that's still not making James Harden like some bad option. The fact that he can't shoot right now is a pretty big issue. But, you know, that's, I just think that from a DFS standpoint, the foul thing is going to be overstated for a long time.
And he'll be fine shooting moving forward. This is a guy that's still shooting 92% from the line. It's 4 games, but yeah, it's, you know, if it keeps going down, he just won't be a gigantic high salary player. He'll be like 9,100, and then you'll still play a shit ton of James Harden because there's going to be days where he drops 40, 15, and 10. Anyway, what do we do with the highest owned guy on Philly? That would be 39% owned Tobias Harris on FanDuel at 7,400. He's 8K on DraftKings. Whether Joel Embiid is in or not, I clearly want to get to some Tobias Harris today, but that $7,400 price on FanDuel seems pretty good to me.
Yeah. And I think I'm pulling up now, but I'm pretty sure Harris has struggled from the field this year too, compared to, you know, last year.
Oh, so he's just bad now.
What?
So he's just bad now.
Yeah.
Can't roster him ever again.
Yeah. 53% effective field goal percentage this year, 55.6 last year. So not shooting as poorly as it seemed like he was, but the rates have still been there for him. He's someone that he also kind of suffers by the rotation that the Sixers are running. I would really prefer Harris if he was getting half of his minutes, give or take, with Joel Embiid on the bench, but he's not. But still, going back to last year, you have a pretty decent sample of Harris playing alongside Embiid without Simmons. He has about a 25% usage rate, rebounding percentage in the mid-teens, assist percentage around 20%. He's averaged around 1.15 DraftKings points per minute over that sample, and you're typically getting around 34 minutes per game from him in competitive games, give or take. So at 8K, I still think he's a good play. You mentioned the FanDuel price tag, just completely mispriced there. I'm a little bitter on Harris. He cost me a really good lineup the other night, but definitely going right back to him just because
I saw that.
Yeah. The opportunities are there. The minutes are there. I still think it looks like a good option.
Does anybody else really interest you for Philly? You'd always cross your fingers on getting the good Seth Curry day or the good Danny Green day. I don't have a ton else though from the Sixers that I like, especially if everybody's in.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much where I'm at. You know, if Seth Curry gets hot, he clearly can give you a good game. So can Danny Green.
Seth Curry's 5,900, man. That's hard to pay off on DraftKings.
Yeah, that's the thing. I saw people in chat saying that they would rather play Curry than Maxey. I wouldn't. All things considered. I mean, I'm assuming Curry is a lot lower owned. Yeah, Curry's 3% owned. So if you want to just use Curry as like a, I really hope I get lucky and he makes seven threes, that's fine. But he has a 16.7% usage percentage this year. He doesn't really rebound. He doesn't really get assists. There's nothing that's really changed. You know, he's a very, very good shooter. I'm not taking anything away from him as like an NBA player, but from a fantasy standpoint, it's not like with Simmons out, Curry is taking on some massive ball handling role or getting a ton of usage or anything. He's just shot 76.5% from three so far. Like, he's not going to keep doing that.
No, he is not. All right. I don't really have anything else for Philly. You want to switch it over to New York?
Somebody said without Embiid and Drummond, Harris's usage becomes greater. Yeah. If Embiid is out, Harris is like, I'm not going to say a lock, but he's pretty damn close.
Yeah. And Maxey becomes significantly more interesting.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If Embiid is out, like Harris, Maxey, play a lot of those guys. Drummond, with the rotations they're running, just for what it's worth, not really affecting Harris since Harris is playing basically all of his minutes with Embiid.
Oh, here we go. We're getting another one here. What are your thoughts on core play tonight? Julius Randle, 9,700 on FanDuel, 9,500 on DK, projected for 10% ownership across both sites, which I find to be probably a little low, could be a little bit higher, but I got him at 1.25 fantasy points per minute here. He's been at 1.53 FanDuel points per minute this season. I mean, I like Julius Randle. I don't find him to be a core piece of anything that I'm doing, but I will certainly be getting to Randle. He's my second favorite Nick.
He's my favorite Nick by a lot.
I like RJ Barrett, point guard, small forward, 5,600 on DK.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I don't like him as much as I like Randle. But yeah, I mean, Randle, the thing with Randle that I guess if you wanted to talk about core plays, which is kind of a dumb topic anyway, but
yes.
The thing with Randle is that there are so many good plays in his price range. It just kind of keeps you, or it should keep you from taking some crazy aggressive stand. Like, there's no real reason to look at this slate and say Julius Randle's the answer. Like, I'm not playing Embiid. I'm not playing James. I'm not playing Jokic. It's just all Julius Randle. Like, what's the point? So, I mean, and that's why typically in NBA DFS, when you, assuming you're talking about core plays in the sense of like your highest owned players, you're typically, it's going to be cheap guys and it's going to be players on teams that are missing starters, because those are going to be the most mispriced guys. Julius Randle's a very, very good play. I like him a lot, but he's not like drastically different than the other guys in his price range.
No, I mean, Embiid's 9,800. Julius Randle's 9,500. LeBron at 94. AD at 92. Russ at 9K. Donovan Mitchell, 8,700. Like, those guys relative to salary are all pretty damn similar.
Yeah.
So while I like Julius Randle, I'm, you know, ownership tells the story of that range. If he stays at 10%, yeah, I think I'll probably end up being over the field on Julius Randle. He could just as easily go to 20% and I pick another name out of a hat from that entire range. Like, if you're confident picking absolute stars on a five-game slate, good luck.
And one other thing, because it came up in chat, and like I'm not making fun of this comment because people talk about it a lot, and in some contexts it can matter, but really pay attention. Make sure you're not like double counting stuff when you decide who your favorite plays are. Someone said you kind of have to play Randle because of how many minutes he's playing. His minutes are part of his projection. Yeah. And when you look at the guys around him, so like, yeah, Julius Randle's likely to play, let's say, 5 or 6 minutes more than Embiid. Embiid averages like 0.3 of a fantasy point per minute more than Randle. So they end up coming out pretty similarly. Jokic, you know, a couple minutes less than Randle, a lot more fantasy points per minute. You don't want to just focus in on one thing that is completely, and in this case, very, very heavily baked into projections, and say, yeah, this is the reason you play the guy. Like, yeah, that's in there. If we thought Randle was going to play the same number of minutes as Embiid, he wouldn't look good at all. So
no, you know, he would also be like 7,900.
Right. So, I mean, and that's, you know, it's one example, but you see people do it in NFL all the time. You see people do it in NBA in a variety of different ways. Yeah. It's just, don't double count stuff. Like, projections are factoring that in, or they should be in basketball. Yeah. Like, if you have projections that aren't factoring in minutes, then I don't know what you're looking at. But yeah, just be aware that you're not making decisions. Like, if you want to say like he has a little bit higher floor because he's going to play more minutes, then sure.
Yeah.
But overall, you don't want to just look at somebody, like, especially when you're looking in this price range where everyone is so freaking good, and just say, you know, oh yeah, he's playing two more minutes.
Right. Because, like, yeah. Like, I've got him beat at 1.53 as the baseline. You mentioned Jokic, 1.56. I got to go a lot further down to 1.23 baseline Julius Randle at the spot. Maybe that's a little higher. You know, we won away last season a little bit more, but even still, these guys aren't close. They're they become closer because of the minutes. So I like you pointing that out for the double counting. I do think RJ Barrett stands out a bit on DraftKings just because he gets that guard forward eligibility. I think that helps out a lot. And I think Mitchell Robinson for 5,400, if this breaks the correct way, we have him projected for 5% ownership. I think he looks like an exceptional GPP play, especially if Nerlens Noel is out.
Yeah. I mean, it's a scary spot. You know, he's dealing with, we assume, Embiid and Drummond or both or whatever. But yeah, just from a pure upside standpoint, I think that there's plenty of it for Robinson. He's playing big minutes this year. He's when he's not in foul trouble, you know, he's being treated more or less like a starter. He's being treated like a starter on a normal team, not quite a Thibodeau team. He's not playing, you know, 39 minutes, but you can, if he avoids foul trouble here, you're probably getting 32, 33 minutes from Robinson. I'll throw Kemba Walker in there too. I saw somebody mention it in chat and I agree. It's not, you're not looking at Kemba and saying you think he does well. He has been garbage this year. Like, and I don't just mean in terms of his production. I mean, his usage is down. He's taken 8 field goal attempts in every game. He is getting way less potential assists than Rose and Randle. Derrick Rose, 12 potential assists per game. Julius Randle, 10.7. Kemba Walker coming in at 6.3. The opportunities just haven't been there for Kemba. All of that being said, he's $5,200. We know that Kemba, you know, even though he's not what he was in his prime, you know, he's dealt with injuries, but we know that he can still have those games where he gets, where he can score. At 5,200, and assuming he's not going to get ownership, I mean, he's projected for 5% ownership right now. He's just kind of the play on a 5-game slate in particular, where it's tough to find relatively inexpensive, low-owned guys with, you know, a semblance of talent. I don't mind mixing him in, but you shouldn't have any confidence in it just based on his role this year and the fact that he's essentially splitting minutes with Derrick Rose.
I was going to say, how much is he going to play? 36 minutes in the opener, 22 and 19 in game two and three for the Knicks so far. I gave him 24 minutes. I don't know what to do.
Right. He's insanely risky. He's not someone that I want. Like, I'm not going into the slate saying like, oh yeah, the edge is Kemba Walker. Give me 30% or something. But I do think he's at least someone you can use, you know, if you do have a chalkier lineup and you just need someone that maybe has a ceiling at 5,200. Kind of, I guess, in the same sense as Andre Drummond. Like, I might even prefer Drummond between the two. I think it's close. But kind of that same thing where like they're pretty likely to disappoint. But I think Kemba is more likely, assuming Drummond plays, I think Kemba is more likely to give you just a total shit game. Drummond probably will at least like do something serviceable. But the point is just, you know, Kemba's 5,200. I would bet that between now and the end of the season, you, or even the end of November, you have a handful of games where Kemba just obliterates a $5,200 salary.
Who plays more minutes today? Kemba Walker or Alec Burks?
Kemba.
Okay.
Right. I'm not buying those Burks minutes.
Okay.
Because Fournier only played like 26.
Yeah. I gave Burks 22 for this one. This is just another spot where like, if Alec Burks is hot for the game, like he could just as easily close for the Knicks and get like Burks for 3,800 on DraftKings, I think is interesting. He's at 9% ownership right now. To me, that's one of the more viable plays for me because I do think that he has the upside and he's not a bad per minute guy just in general. That intrigues me on DraftKings.
Yeah, Burks is fine at 3,800. It's usually difficult to find guys in that price range that actually have the ability to have good fantasy games if they get more minutes than you're expecting. You know, a lot of times, especially on smaller slates where you have limited options, you just end up going with, I don't know, the first example that comes to mind from last night is like either of the McDaniels. Like guys that you're like, oh, cool, maybe they'll play 28 minutes and average, you know, 0.6 fantasy points per minute. That's awesome. Burks is someone where like you can't count on the minutes so much, but he's a good fantasy producer when he's on the floor. So if you just, there's a million ways he can get more minutes. You know, Fournier gets in foul trouble. Burks plays well. Fournier plays poorly. There's so many ways that Burks can pick up an extra few minutes, and he's extremely likely to do damage in those few minutes if he gets them.
Yeah, the more time that he gets, it's probably because it's going really well for him. He can shoot his way into more playing time and a slate-breaking fantasy score at 3,800.
Right. Jeremy Lamb is another example that's come up a few times this year. Like, you would just so much rather take the chance on, or at least I would so much rather take a chance on somebody like that, where it's like, okay, there's a decent chance they're going to play 18 minutes and, you know, score 16 fantasy points and be useless. But the games where they get 24 fantasy points, there's a decent chance they're getting like, or sorry, 24 minutes, there's a decent chance they're getting like 28, 30 fantasy points, because most likely if they get extra minutes, it means they're playing really well. Then someone, you know, I don't have a good example off the top of my head other than like the McDaniels from last night, but like guys where it's just like, yeah, okay, cool. If they get four more minutes, they might score one more fantasy point.
Right. Do you have anything else here for Knicks? It's pretty bleak.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, Randall and Barrett, I think, stand out. And then sort of the rest of the team is, I would say, tournament plays, but not ones that you're super confident in. You know, Fournier, Rose, Robinson, Walker, Burks, like they all give upside. They all offer upside at their salary. They all also, I think, are a little bit overpriced, with the exception of Burks. I would say Burks is probably, like, if Burks plays, if I give Burks 21 minutes, he projects for like 18 DraftKings points, which isn't great, but it's not the end of the world at 3,800. So Burks, I would say, is, I guess, closer to the Barrett and Randall tier than the, you know, Kemba tier, but kind of in a spot of his own, I guess, between the two.
Schedule for the rest of the day coming up at 11 a.m. immediately after this show, NFL Strategy First Look Edition. We've got the NHL Strategy Show coming up at 2. We've got the PGA Strategy Show at, I don't know yet. Let me refresh this to see if Chris has refreshed it on. Yes, PGA Strategy is coming up at 4, NBA Deeper Dive at 5:30, and then NBA Live Before Lock from 6:30 to 7:30. Pay close attention, everybody. Lock is at 7:30 tonight. Plus, we've got free content, NBA player rankings, NHL top stacks, and PGA top golfers. We move on to Golden State at Oklahoma City. Okay.
I just wanted to mention something quickly. Someone said that...
Is it quickly?
Huh?
Is it quickly?
No, it is not quickly. Someone said the Rose has closed the last two games over Kemba. Just be careful with that. The two games ago was the game that they beat the Magic by like 25 points. Rose played his second stint, and then Kemba obviously was never coming back in anyway. So there's a good chance Rose closes over Kemba tonight. He did close over him last game. But just, again, sort of as a general, you know, it's still early in NBA season, just a general point. Make sure you're paying attention to the score in games and, you know, when you're deciding what rotations look like.
Also, I don't think that you should ever be thinking that you know the Knicks closing rotation, given Derrick Rose and Kemba Walker or some of these guys. Like, that could be anybody on any given night.
Yeah, in that
example. I know Randall and Barrett are going to be there.
Yeah, yeah, in that example for sure. But, like, paying attention to closing lineups is really, really important.
Oh, very.
But you also, like, you don't want to just be looking at, you know, who was on the floor last. You know, you want to pay attention specifically to, was it a blowout and how was the second unit doing? Because there will be several times this year where people draw some insane conclusions, like X bench player is going to play a bunch of minutes tonight because he closed last night. And it's like, yeah, the bench unit went on a 20-0 run. So they played the entire fourth quarter. Like, so yeah, you really pay attention to what the second unit does and to what the score was during, you know, when they closed.
The Warriors are 9-point favorites in Oklahoma City, 224 total. Steph Curry is at the top of this one, 10-4 on FanDuel, projected for 31% ownership, 11K on DraftKings, projected for 19. I'm just going to say it right now. I'm going to have a lot less than the public of Steph Curry. I just won't be there today like this, and I basically won't be there all year. 1.54 fantasy points per minute so far from Steph is incredible. I expect that number to come down a bit. I got him at 1.4 for the game. I just prefer the other payoff options.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit higher on Curry than you, particularly for his rebounding recently. No, I'm just
kidding. You're an idiot. I hate you so much.
No, but I am higher on Curry than you, just because I think that we saw it last year without Oubre and Wiseman. He just was at a completely different level, particularly without Oubre, who just made like everybody else worse. The salary on Curry is the issue. You know, he's really expensive. You have Jokic is a little bit less. You have Luka, who's $100 less. So at the very least, I would say that you should be paying attention to ownership a lot there. But Curry has played, wrong search. Curry has played 13 games since the start of last year without Oubre and Wiseman. 1.69 DraftKings points per minute, 41% usage percentage, 29.7% assist percentage. This team is, you know, obviously set up for him to just get up a million shots, and he's insanely efficient. So I think that Curry is still a very, very good play. It's a good matchup. But yeah, it's kind of like the Julius Randle spot at the same time. I'm not looking at Steph Curry and saying, you know, unless he were to like be projected for like 3% ownership or something, I'm not looking at Curry and saying, you know, oh yeah, he's the answer. I'm just, you know, I'm very confident he does better than every other superstar on the slate. Like, I'm not, there's no reason you would be.
He would be your third of the 10Ks, right?
I think it's really close.
Really?
Okay. I might prefer him like in terms of raw points, he's probably going to be my top.
You're going to have him ahead of Luka?
Most likely. I guess that's close.
I don't even have it in the ballpark of close.
Yeah, I guess it's Luka and then Curry, I think. I think I have him ahead of Jokic.
I have Jokic by a point. Like, that one to me would be close. I have Luka well ahead of the rest of these guys. At home against Houston, like, it's not going to get much better than that. Pace up spot two for Dallas. I don't like worrying about blowouts. I don't think that matters at all for Curry, but him not playing in the fourth quarter certainly wouldn't shock me. He could just as easily have 40 points in the first three quarters too. That wouldn't be a terribly shocking event. Yeah, like, I mean, I've got Curry projected for 33-7-5. It's not like I'm down on Steph Curry, but if he's going to be 31% owned on FanDuel, like, I'm just going to like Luka and Jokic more at that rate, and I'm going to hope that this game goes a little squirrely for Golden State.
I just searched Curry in our ownership projections and it landed on Seth, and I didn't realize it. I was like, wait, he really is 3%? Like, I might play
3%. But yeah, I would have a ton then.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's at 18% right now. Luka's at 24. I think that makes sense. Jokic is at 16. Like, the way the ownership looks right now, I just wouldn't really have a strong preference between that group. But I wouldn't really want to be, like, cutting Curry out either. I still think he's a fantastic play.
11K is just – that's just too big of a number right now.
Why?
11K for him? In one individual position instead of an MPE, like,
oh, you act like pricing is like soft or is not like relatively soft.
I don't know if it is today.
I mean, I guess it's seemed sharper so far, but I mean,
like, that's a big price tag on a five gamer for Curry, at least. I mean, what was his high price last year? I know it's a bad, like, doesn't really matter like that, but.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, he's got to be pushing like the highest he's ever been.
It was probably around 11.
If I had to guess. Like, I'm clearly going to have Curry because it's a five-game slate, but he's 11K today. What's the highest he's ever been? I'm sorting by cost now on Fantasy Country. This is the highest he's ever been.
He's played 827 minutes since the start of last year with Draymond on the floor, without Oubre, without Weissman. 1.62 DraftKings points per minute. 35.4% usage rate, 9.5% rebounding percentage, 26.5% assist percentage. Like, that's the same level of production you're getting from Luka and you're getting from Jokic.
Yeah.
And he's playing huge minutes in competitive games, which this one may or may not be. But again, if it's not, it's probably because Curry just blew up in three quarters.
That's fair. I'm probably underrepresenting him a bit. I don't feel like 1.41 on FanDuel today is a ridiculously low stand on Curry. But I think his price is as high as it's ever going to be. And
I think he's in a better situation than he's ever been in.
Maybe. He might be. He's divisive for me, man. It's tricky. He's a guy that I need to dig into today a little bit more. Otherwise, he's going to get – well, on FanDuel, it's a different story. He's 31% owned on FanDuel, and I like the other guys more than him. We'll see where that actually ends up as we get closer to lock. The bigger question is sort of the rest of these Golden State guys, whether that's Wiggins for 5,800, who's actually the highest owned guy on DraftKings, Draymond at 36% ownership on FanDuel. That's the highest number on FanDuel. Who else stands out to you from Golden State?
Sorry, I was still looking at Curry stuff, but – it's kind of just tournament options for me after Curry. And I guess, you know, Curry kind of a tournament option too. Like, I doubt I pay all the way up for him in cash. But Poole's price tag has come up a bit. He did play 32 minutes last game. He closed. That was very good to see. He was, I think, playing pretty well down the stretch. But we had seen in the first couple of games for Golden State, Poole play 25 minutes. He basically was opening every quarter, but then hadn't been closing. He closed, got the 32 minutes. That was good to see that that's at least something that can happen. I like that. He is having his minutes staggered with Curry. That's really important for him. Just like we were talking about with Maxey. You know, if Maxey were getting the same rotation as Jordan Poole, I would like Tyrese Maxey quite a bit, but he's not. Poole is. So 5,900 for Poole, I still think is a decent price. It's probably about where he should be. Wiggins and Green, 34 minutes for Draymond last game. Really good to see. 31 minutes for Wiggins. So it seems like he's slowly getting ramped back up. I think that Draymond at 7,100 is is reasonable now that he's playing, you know, his full allotment of minutes. 5,800 for Wiggins, I think, is a good salary. He's obviously not someone that feels great in DFS, but 0.92 DraftKings points per minute so far this season, 0.97 last year without Oubre or Weissman on the floor alongside Green. If you're going to get, you know, let's call it 32 minutes from him at 5,800, there's plenty of upside there.
I don't like much of the rest of this team. The prices have either come up a little bit into the fours, or nobody's really going to get a giant chunk of minutes. Bielitsa went from 26 minutes down to 10 in the last one, 16 in the middle game. So who the hell knows how many minutes he's actually going to play. Iggy should be back here, played 23 minutes in both games, but he's still Andre Iguodala. Yeah. Do you expect to get to the rest of the Warriors?
I would throw Otto Porter and Damian Lee into that, like, Alec Burks bucket, where if they're playing well, not quite to the level of Burks. Like, I don't think it's likely either guy closes a competitive game. They could.
Damian Lee's also bad at DFS. 0.75 type guy.
Yeah. But he's, yeah, I mean, he's also cheap. But yeah, my point just being that, like, if you're playing a bunch of lineups and you're rotating through cheap guys, like, Porter and Lee both have paths to good games here. I think I would lean Porter just because he is a little bit more productive. I'm not super confident in his minutes, what they look like with Iguodala back, but based on the rotations last game, it kind of seems like Porter's carving out the role that he, you know, a bigger role, which he probably should have. Seems like, you know, maybe at the expense of Bielitsa. I assume Gary Payton doesn't play today with Iggy back. So that's 17 minutes that right there that can just go to Iggy if you keep the same rotation as last game. So I think Porter, you know, decent chance that he gets 22-ish minutes.
Anything else for Golden State?
Nope.
For Oklahoma City, Derek Favors is going to be out for this one. My assumption is going to be Isaiah Roby starting, although who the hell knows? It could just as easily be more Jeremiah Robinson Earl or Mike Muscala. I think they're going to be rotating through a lot of guys here because this team is truly putrid. Shea is 43% owned on FanDuel right now at 7,100. That makes a ton of sense to me. Not as owned at DK on 8,100, but the guys pulling the ownership on DraftKings, Lou Dort at 4,700. He's 27% owned. Darius Bazley, 25% owned. I prefer Dort to Bazley, but I like both of those things. The guy I really like the most here that isn't pulling as much ownership, that would be Josh Giddey.
Yeah, I think this is a really interesting team to think about with Favors out. And in this matchup, you could get Bazley center minutes, which would be productive.
By the way, our friend Logan in chat thinks that Dort's going to play close to 40 minutes today.
I wouldn't go that far. I could see him being on, I mean, I could see him being on the floor for every minute that Curry's on the floor.
Sure. Maybe.
Yeah, not that that's the most likely, but certainly could.
No, I mean, that's like a 15% output anyway, because they also have to be in the game too.
Right.
10-point dogs.
Yeah, I'm just trying to pull up Bazley center minutes going back to last year, because, I mean, this is definitely a game where you're missing Favors. You could just go small. Without Horford, Moses Brown, Tony Bradley, or Isaiah Roby on the floor, I guess, or Muscala. God, they have a lot of centers. Bazley's played 146 minutes, 0.94 DraftKings points per minute since last year. So I think there's a chance that Bazley at five, I like Bazley at 5K. Like, even if he plays his normal role, he is a good play. But I think there's a chance for more productive minutes from Bazley here. I like Dort. The price tag's nice. I think he's, you know, obviously he's a very, very good defensive player. We've seen him get better offensively, and certainly could pick up a couple more minutes to defend Curry. So yeah, it's a really bad team, but there are plenty of minutes to go around. Josh Giddey's been he's coming off of a good game. He hasn't been super productive so far this year, but he's getting a lot of minutes, which is nice. I think I would say, I mean, Gildas Alexander clearly is like the top guy. I think Bazley would be my second favorite play, followed by Dort. If Roby starts at center, I like it. I guess I like either Roby or Robinson Earl, whoever starts.
Why so light on Giddey?
5,800 on DraftKings is kind of tough.
How many minutes do you think Giddey plays? I guess that's the question then. I put him in for 30.
It's probably more than that.
Oh, well then why so light on Giddey?
Yeah, I mean, he played 34 last game. He's been playing a lot of minutes.
Well, it's the only game that it's been over 30.
Yeah, but weren't they just like destroyed in the other games?
Well, I mean, should we not be assuming that that's what's going to happen moving forward? This team's going to go like 10-72.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying like the, I thought, and I'm pulling them up now, but I thought the rotations for him had been pretty encouraging, like even prior to last game.
I mean, you're making my point then, if you think that he should be playing more minutes.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little low on him.
Fantasy point per minute so far. He's a 1.08 on FanDuel so far. To me, he looks like, especially at 10% ownership, I think he looks like the best GPP play from the Thunder.
I kind of just don't trust his production. Like, he has a 16.5% usage rate.
That's fair.
He has rebounded well. The assist numbers are there. Like, he's playing well. I think he's fine. I would just rather get to Baisley. I would rather get to Dort.
I think that Dort and Baisley are slightly better plays. I would rather get to Giddey in a GPP.
Because of the ownership?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
One of them's at 10%. The other's at 25. Like, that, it's just way easier to get to Giddey, I think. And then you can pretty much make a case for like six other guys in terms of large field GPPs here. Do they go to Baisley at the five and play more Poku? Do they just go to Robinson Earl? Do they just go to Muscala? Like, all of these questions can be answered with, yeah, maybe this team doesn't want to win.
Yeah, this is a really good team to make sure that you're setting groups that make sense, because I think a lot of these guys, like the cheap guys, should have projections that will put them in play in tournaments if you're playing a lot of lineups. But you want to be kind of thinking it through. Like, if Isaiah Roby and Jeremiah Robinson Earl both play a lot of minutes, it's unlikely that Pogacevski gets as many minutes as you would like. It's unlikely that, like, Baisley would still be fine, but he's probably not getting center minutes if you're getting a bunch of minutes from both of those guys. So I think just, you know, on those kind of fringy rotation guys, just probably spread them out across lineups as opposed to playing them together.
730 concurrent viewers right now, just 120 likes. Slipping, people. We're slipping. Hit that thumbs up. It helps us out a ton. We should be well north of 200 right now, and it helps us out tremendously, and it doesn't cost you guys a dime. You ready to move on to Houston and Dallas?
Yeah.
Houston Rockets are 11.5-point underdogs in Dallas. We'll start on the Houston side. Christian Wood and Kevin Porter Jr. are both about 25% owned on FanDuel. Highest owned guy on DraftKings is 14% at Wood for 8,400. I'm probably a little lighter on Christian Wood on FanDuel than the 24% shows. I do think the Kevin Porter ownership makes some sense. I'm not super enamored with anything from Houston. I will work my way through some of these guys, but I think they're all properly owned. Does anything stand out to you for the Rockets?
Not really. One thing just in general that stands out about the Rockets is the rotations that they've run so far this year. This is another team where there's always blowout risk because they're really bad, but they are playing some huge minutes for their starters when they get the chance. And like, when you look at first half rotations, but you know, like last game against Boston, it was relatively close to the end. 37 minutes for Porter, 36 for Wood, 36 for Green, 35 for Tate. You had, I don't remember which game it was earlier in the year, but like they played 33 minutes and lost like 7 minutes to garbage time.
It was the opener.
I think it was like every starter played 20 minutes in the first half.
Kenya Martin, Christopher Brooks, and Garuba all played 9 minutes.
I mean, this is one of those teams where, like, they're gonna average, you know, 33, 34 minutes per game because they just get run off the court often enough. But in competitive games, I think you're looking at 36 to 40 minutes from these guys, and they produce at a high rate. Wood, Porter, Green hasn't really to this point, but he should going forward, finally coming off of a big game.
0.96 so far at FanDuel for Green. It hasn't been all that bad.
Yeah, but I think he had one massive game.
Yeah.
I think, and I meant to say this about OKC, but I'll say it about both. You and I had talked when we did the kind of NBA strategy show to open the season about not hard coding and forcing stacks in NBA, but maybe using the boost feature in Fantasy Cruncher. Yeah. Houston and Oklahoma City, I think, are perfect examples of this. If Christian Wood has a big game at 8,400, it's very likely that the game was competitive and Luka plays 36 minutes. So there is positive minutes correlation between guys like Wood and Luka, Porter and Luka, Green and Luka, where if they do well, if you're happy that you have one of these main Rocket guys in your lineup, there's a very good chance that Luka is having a big, at least playing a lot of minutes on the other side.
He's getting a lot of opportunities.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So it's, you know, you don't want to just say, like, I definitely wouldn't say if Luka, I have to have a Rocket. You right. can, you can still use a positive bump there thinking that, you know, Luka gets full run if one of the Rockets does well, but like with Dallas being the team that's likely to blow out Houston, Luka can have a big game without anybody on Houston doing well. You know, he just plays fewer minutes, but he's really, really productive. On the other side though, like, it's just really difficult to see how any of these relatively expensive Houston guys have big games without the Mavs starters playing a lot of minutes.
Yep. I'm with you. I don't have anybody specific I want to key on though. Like, I don't really see it other than Jalen Green for $6K on FanDuel at 4% ownership. Yeah, I'm going to have more than that.
Yeah. And like the pricing on DraftKings is pretty high here anyway. Like, if I give 36 minutes to Wood, Porter, and Green, they look good, but they don't like stand out. So
yeah.
That's, you know, another reason I think that, you know, they're good tournament plays. They're almost definitely going to be low owned. The fact that the game is likely to blow out and people really care about that. And then also, you know, they are expensive, but I think it just, you know, they're relatively I wouldn't even like that the boost settings I was talking about. I wouldn't like it as much if like Christian Wood were like 7K, because Christian Wood could pay off 7K in, you know, 32 minutes. And you don't need Luka to get all those minutes. And the part of the reason I like it is because these guys are so expensive. Like, to really be happy you played Christian Wood at 8,400, you need what, like 50 fantasy points. If he scores 50 fantasy points, it's pretty unlikely that this game was over, you know, after three quarters.
Right. Or he had some sort of like broken stock game where it's adding up otherwise. I don't have much to talk about for Houston at this point.
No, I don't have much either. Christian Wood, Porter, Green, I'll give you ceilings. Jalen Tate plays a lot of minutes, but he's relatively expensive. Even Şengün's price came up. I've been waiting for I'd said from like day one, I was waiting for that like five game slate with Şengün on it. He's up to 4,300. I actually had him in, I think, my best lineup the other night, the one that Tobias Harris tanked.
I saw.
Yeah, so I've been playing him a little bit. I'm sure I'll get a little bit here too, but I wish he was still a little bit cheaper.
A lot of ownership coming in on the Dallas side. On both sites, Luka's pretty heavily owned, 34% on FanDuel, 25 on DraftKings. Porzingis is 46% owned on FanDuel. He'll be one of my bigger fades if that continues to be the number. 21% on DK. Dwight Powell, to me, is the most interesting play in this game on DraftKings. He's 3,300, projected for 29% ownership. And it's just like, to me, a pretty firm piece of value you can get to. Jalen Brunson's pulling a lot of ownership. Tim Hardaway on FanDuel is 30% owned. He's $1,700 more expensive on DK, so he's unowned on DK. What are you going to do with Dallas?
Yeah, I take back that soft pricing comment. They're pretty on it today.
I told you.
Yeah. I mean, like, Brunson at 4,200 is okay, but if he's going to get, what did you say we had Brunson projected for?
25. Yeah,
so Jalen Brunson at 25%, Alec Burks at 9%. Aren't they basically the same play?
I mean, to me, I'd rather play Burks, like, maybe just in general.
Yeah, I mean, they're both guys that are playing like, you know, 22 to 24 minutes. If they play well, they can get a little bit more. If they play bad, they'll get a little bit less. I mean, I understand why Brunson's getting ownership on this slate. I'm not saying he's a bad play, but I don't think there should be that kind of gap there. Porzingis coming off of a really good game. Only played 30 minutes, which I don't really know why.
Because he might break.
Yeah, I mean, there's that. I still like him at his price tag, but the 30 minutes is a little concerning. He did play 29 minutes the game before, and that was a game where he went to the bench with 5.5 minutes left because it was a blowout. So I think there's at least a path to where he sometimes plays more minutes. But even if you're getting, you know, 30 to 32, he's fine on the slate. He's around the 1.25 fantasy point per minute guy. Even last year, when, you know, everyone thinks he was absolutely terrible because he wasn't very good from an NBA standpoint, he still produced at DFS. So I think he's fine. Outside of that, you know, you're kind of, oh, I'm with you on Powell. He's been starting. He's averaging 22.5 minutes per game this year. He's not the most exciting player. He's around the 0.8 fantasy point per minute guy, but 3,300, lack of value on the slate. Not the deepest center position either on the slate, which helps. Like, you have Embiid, you have Jokic, but there's not quite as much. There's not really the mid-range high upside centers that you typically have on other slates. So the opportunity cost to going to Powell for value is a little bit lower.
Yeah, I'm going to end up being a little bit lighter here on some of this Dallas stuff, but the starters plus Brunson are really the only guys that I'm looking at. I don't have anything else for Dallas.
Someone said Brunson's the number one option on offense when Luka is out. That is true. I don't really know what that matters.
Is it true?
I mean, it's not Bullock, Kleber, Brown, or Cauley-Stein.
I mean, I would have said the answer is actually Porzingis.
No, that's not true. It's they're staggering Porzingis and Doncic for most of the minutes.
Yeah, it's unquestionably Porzingis. I mean, Brunson's going to handle the ball, but
the very first stretch of minutes of second unit I looked at from last game was Bullock, Kleber, Brown, Brunson, Cauley, Stein. So it was just like, one, that's a really shitty group. And two, I guess it's Brunson. But yeah, Porzingis is playing almost every minute that Luka doesn't.
Yep. All righty. Let's talk a little bit about our presenting sponsor of this show. That would be Yahoo Fantasy. We got a pretty good offer here. You can get 1 month free of Awesome O Plus Platinum. You have to be new to Yahoo to do it. Sign up for an account using the link below, make a deposit, and play. That's all you got to do. Yahoo will reach out to us after you play in your first paid contest, and then we will reach out to you with a coupon code. If you need immediate access, email support@awesomeo.com and get set up. You could also claim a free $10 below, which can be used to enter any Yahoo contest. Use the DFS tools and projections we have designed specifically for Yahoo to give yourself a shot at winning big. Thank you to Yahoo for being the presenting sponsor. Now, everybody, hit that thumbs up once again. Two more games to go. I'm going to move pretty quickly here. Not a lot to talk about on this one, at least not that I could tell. Lakers and Spurs. Lakers are 4.5-point favorites in San Antonio. Basically, LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, and Anthony Davis are about 10 to 15% owned across FanDuel. They're all pretty similar in price, except for on FanDuel, Russ has been discounted dramatically, as he should be. I think Kent Bazemore looks sort of the most interesting of any bench player, maybe Carmelo Anthony, but I don't see any priorities from the Lakers.
I think it's going to be difficult all season long to really prioritize these guys in the sense of, you know, feeling really good about them compared to other players in their price range. I think they're all fine. Like, they all have ceilings. They all, we know, can produce at a really high rate, talking about LeBron, Davis, and Westbrook. But they're on DraftKings. You know, Westbrook's 9K, Davis is 9,200, LeBron's 9,400. They're fine in tournaments, but like, I would rather, if you're just talking about, you know, chances of success, like, I'd rather go to Randall, I'd rather go to Embiid, I'd rather go to every guy above them. So I think LeBron looks the best to me, only 9,400. He's like, I think he's the safest in the sense of, like, he's going to have the ball in his hands a ton. He's making things happen. He's not reliant on anyone else letting him do something. You know, like Westbrook, if the, like, there's just going to be games where, like, if the Lakers are looking more to win than appease Westbrook, they're just going to be like, get the hell out of the way, you're not doing anything. That's never going to happen to LeBron. Like, he's going to have the ball. So I think he's the best of the group. He's also getting the most ownership. I would say Davis is second best, just because he's better than Westbrook. And from like a basketball sense, he's less likely to just be kicked out of the offense. And then Westbrook, you know, still gives you a massive ceiling, but he just has, I think, the least secure role out of the big three.
I don't have anything else I could add for the Lakers.
Bazemore's in the Burks Brunson bucket.
0.42 fantasy points per minute so far for Kent Bazemore, lighting up the score sheets.
Yeah.
But I agree with you.
It's due to turn around when you have a 10.6% usage rate.
Yeah. I'm with you. On the San Antonio side, I think there's a lot to like here. A lot of ownership going to DeJounte Murray, 30% across both sides. Derek White is in the 20s. Keldon Johnson is in the 20s. Jakob Poeltl for 5,600 on DraftKings looks good. McBuckets, Lonnie Walker, Devin Vassell. San Antonio is way more interesting from a DFS perspective than the Lakers are today. So sign me up for more Spurs.
Yeah, DeJounte Murray's price tag just keeps not moving. 7,300 on DraftKings really stands out on a slate like this, where, you know, kind of, as we said, as the show has gone on, there, the pricing is sharper than it has been. So you have less just clear values to go to. Murray really stands out. I would expect him to be really popular for that reason, but he's a good option. Going back to last year, he's averaged about 1.1 DraftKings points per minute without DeRozan and with Derek White on the floor. He's averaged 1.14 DraftKings points per minute so far this year. He just, you know, looks like a good option. He's playing. He played 34 minutes last game. You know, in competitive games, you're going to get around there from him. Derek White at 6,500. He's a little too close to Murray for me in terms of price. Like, I would rather go to Murray if ownership is similar, but I still think White is a good option. He has also averaged 1.14 DraftKings points per minute this year. He's mostly having his minutes staggered with Murray, which is good. He's more productive without Murray, as you would expect. Jakob Poeltl's playing big minutes. Keldon Johnson has seen a big bump in usage this year. He actually leads the team with a 26.5% usage rate. That's something that I'm looking to take advantage of, you know, before pricing and or the field catches up. I think the field kind of is starting to catch up already. He's been relatively popular, but pricing certainly hasn't. Keldon Johnson kind of still priced like he would be last year when he was, you know, a relatively low usage, rebound dependent guy. Now he's getting up a ton of shots. So I like all four of those guys. You can mix in some McDermott, some Walker, some Vassell in the same, you know, vein as like Brunson, Burks, those guys. But yeah, it's a team where I don't like the spot for them all that much, but I do like the pricing on this team.
Do you have anything else here? We're running short on time.
Nope.
Nuggets and Jazz. Nuggets are 7-point underdogs against the Jazz. We've got Michael Porter pulling ownership again at 6,200 on DraftKings. Didn't work out well. Same sort of ownership coming to Aaron Gordon on the opposite side. Utah, you sort of know what you're getting every time, although Mike Conley at 5,700 seems underpriced. Hit me with everything for this game. What do you like from Denver? What do you like from Utah?
Mike Conley's price on Utah, I think, stands out. Only 5,700. He's not going to play a ton of minutes, but you're probably getting 29 to 30 minutes, assuming the game's competitive. He's around the 1.1 fantasy point per minute guy. So on this, you know, shorter slate, I think that stands out. Other than that, you know, tournament shots for me, Mitchell, Gobert, Clarkson, they all give you a nice ceiling. They're all also, I think, priced about where they should be. On the other side, Jokic, more productive without Jamal Murray. We know that going back to last season. He typically is going to play around 34, 35 minutes in competitive games. This is a back-to-back for Denver. So that's, you know, not great. But Jokic has had success in the past against Gobert, so I wouldn't worry about that. You know, there's always the, you know, oh, yeah, but he's going up against Gobert people. I wouldn't worry about that. I think, you know, Jokic is still a good play here. He averages 1.6 to 1.7 fantasy points per minute. Michael Porter Jr. has been absolute garbage this year, but he's also cheap. Going back to last year, he's about a one fantasy point per minute guy alongside Jokic without Jamal Murray. This year, he's been awful, but I assume that's going to turn around sooner than later. We had over 1,000 minutes of it last year, so it's not like it was a small sample. So I think he looks like a reasonable option. He'll probably be popular. I don't love him. I think he's kind of just owned around where he should be. Will Barton still not running with the second unit based on yesterday's rotation and the rotation in the previous game. That's important to note because I think at 5,700, Barton is okay. But where you really would like Barton is if he was running the second unit like he did briefly in the first game of the year. He did it in the second half. But then they stopped doing it, even though he played really, really well. So that hurts him. Monte Morris, you can throw into the Burks bucket. I think the priority here clearly is Jokic and Porter. Porter, more so a product of price and position. Jokic, because he's really damn good, and I think the matchup's fine for him.
Anything else you want to touch on for this slate?
No. I think I don't know if, like, most fun's the right word. I don't know how to word it, but, like, the pricing on DraftKings is for sure the best it's been this season. So I think there's going to probably be – well, there's going to be higher raw ownership anyway, just as the five-game slate. But also probably higher raw ownership in some spots just because for most of the season so far, it's been like, oh, well, this player is good, but there's 15 guys priced around him that are almost as good. Now I think it's going to be more cut and dry on the guys that are mispriced. So, you know, definitely pay attention to ownership as you would anyway, but should be a pretty fun slate, I think.
Deep dive coming out later today?
Yep.
Back for the deeper dive at 5:30?
Unless I go to sleep.
There you go. Good luck today, everybody. Thank you guys for joining us. We ran a little long. NFL First Look coming up next. Thank you to Yahoo for being the presenting sponsor. If you haven't done it already, sign up using the link in the description and hit that like button as you leave. Good luck tonight, everybody. Win some money. Talk to you later.